Welcome to worship this morning. I'm Pastor Lundgren. I was back here with you last week, and I thoroughly enjoyed your service last week, the polka service. But I went home, and by late afternoon, I couldn't even talk. I think I sang out with too much gusto or something. And I've had all week to try and catch up. It's a good thing now. This week I have a funeral on Tuesday and one on Saturday, two on Saturday, one here in one of the cities, and then preach here Sunday. So I may be a little hoarse. So maybe you should prepare a sermon.
I'll try.
And if I need a backup, you'll be it. Okay. Welcome to worship. The bulletin is fairly clearly laid out so that even an amateur with you like me can follow it. And we don't have the announcements yet. I see there's a slot for those coming up right after our opening hymn. So, I also was just asking somebody, and they didn't know, but we don't have Office in our computer at home. And so last week, my daughter took it to work and copied the bulletin, so I had that funny-looking one that I put together. So this week, I didn't even bother to get one until I got here. But it's straightforward enough, we'll get along just fine, and if we don't, we'll punt. The opening hymn is number 731, and notice, and I usually follow up on this, verses 1, 2, and 5. And it says, please rise for the singing of the last verse. I read that for me now, not for you. So let us go to our opening hymn. I'm happy to see your choir here. The fun part about doing what I do in my 15th year of retirement here is that I walk in and I never know what I'm going to find. I usually face the altar and I'm praying to God, but I get to pray to the choir. But good to be with you. And let's turn to our opening hymn, number 731. Say whether you stand for the announcements or not, but are there other announcements that aren't in the bulletin that I should ask for? If not, take your bulletin home. Put it somewhere near the fridge. That's where we all end up going. And notice which things apply to you and your ministry with the Lord this week. But there is one announcement I was asked to give. Ted Jaksik and his wife would appreciate your prayers. He's been at the VA hospital. VA hospital for some time. And they're hoping he might be able to be transferred, but they're trying to find a place where they can handle feeding tubes. So keep them in your prayers. Let's take a moment of silence to center our thoughts, and we will begin our worship service. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the only sovereign, who dwells in light, Christ Jesus, who came to save sinners, the Holy Spirit who lives within us.
Amen.
Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. God of overflowing grace, we come to you with repentant hearts. Forgive us for shallow thankfulness. Forgive us for passing by the ones in need. Forgive us for setting our hopes on fleeting treasures. Forgive us for neglect and thoughtlessness. Bring us home from the wilderness of sin, and strengthen us to serve you in all that we do and say. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
There is joy in heaven over every sinner who repents. By the grace of God in Christ Jesus, who gave himself up for us all, our sins are forgiven, and we are made free. Rejoice with the angels and with one another. We are home in God's mercy, now and forever.
Amen.
Join me as we pray together the prayer of the day as printed in your bulletin. O Lord God, tireless guardian of your people, you are always ready to hear our cries. Teach us to rely day and night on your care. Inspire us to seek your enduring justice for all this suffering world. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, choir. The first reading for today, Sunday, October 16th, is from the book of Genesis, chapter 32, verses 22 through 31. Returning to the home he had fled many years before after stealing his brother's birthright and his father's blessing, Jacob wrestles all night long with a divine adversary who ultimately blesses him and changes his name to Israel, a name that means he wrestles with God. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm for today is Psalm 121. Please read responsively, and at the bold R, read, "My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where is my help to come?
My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The Lord will not let your foot be moved, nor will the one who watches over you fall asleep.
Behold, the keeper of Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. My help comes from the Lord.
The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand.
The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night.
The Lord will preserve you from all evil and will keep your life.
The Lord will watch over your going out and your coming in, from this time forth forevermore. My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
The second reading is from 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verses 14 through 4.5, I guess. Paul continues his instruction to Timothy, his younger colleague in ministry, by emphasizing the importance of faithful teaching despite opposition. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from childhood you have known the sacred writings that are able to instruct you for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, so that everyone who belongs to God may be proficient, equipped for every good work. In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead? And in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own desires, and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please rise for the gospel.
The gospel for today
comes from the 18th chapter of St. Luke, beginning verse 1. Jesus calls or tells a parable of a hateful judge who is worn down by a widow's pleas. Jesus is calling God's people to cry out for justice and deliverance. For an unethical judge will ultimately grant the plea of a persistent widow. How much more will God respond to those who call? Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, "Grant me justice against my opponent." For a while he refused, but later he said to himself, "Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will grant her justice, so that she may not wear me out by continually coming." And the Lord said, "Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" This is the good news of our Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I was reminded last Sunday that I could send a sermon topic in, but I got so tangled up planning funerals that I didn't get around to it. So if you were looking for a way to put the sermon together today, you can have your choice of two. See it through. See it through is what the sermon topic might have been. Or even more direct, go for it. Go for it. I've noted many times as I've been preaching that the Bible is really a doggedly honest document. I mean, look at the people that are the heroes in the Bible. People like David, you must know his story, far less than clean. Noticed his soldier's wife out on the rooftop and had caught his eye and sent his soldier friend to the front line where he was killed, and then took this woman as his wife. And my namesake Nathan had to come in and tell a story and finally say to David, "You the man, you're the one that did that." Not exemplary kind of guy, if you think about it. That's David. Who else do we know? Well, we might come up with others, but let's look at Jacob today. Blemished also, and not looking very good. There are two types of sermons, by the way. Some are proclamation, just hammering the good news of forgiveness for all. And I've been working on that this week because I've had two funerals for people, or have them coming up. Two men who never bothered to go to church. But one of them read his Bible every day. And the other one was a fine man who would do anything for anybody. And as a pastor, it's kind of a challenge to have, it's relatively easy for those of you that are faithful worshipers to say, "You knew the good news, so we can entrust this person to the Lord in that faith." It's a little more difficult where people have not been active in church. And my response in these sermons is to say, you know, I wish I'd had a chance to talk to Frank or Bob or whatever the guy's name is and tell him a little more about the good news and the grace we have in Jesus Christ. But, you know, even though I didn't speak to him, God spoke to him often. You can't live, you can't be around life, you can't be dealing with people and circumstances of life without sensing the voice and presence of God. And the beautiful thing is then you can say God's grace and mercy are for all, not just those of us that are pew sitters on Sunday morning, but I say I wish that I'd gotten to know this person because I think of what he missed. I walk in here on Sunday mornings and I see all of you happy people jostling around with one another. Take this experience out of your life, and what are you missing? You know, it's a support system is what it is in our faith. And so that's the one kind of sermon where you deal with the fact that God's grace is for everyone, not just for those of us that find our way to church. Being in church and being a deacon on the church council or a beautiful singing choir member doesn't earn us God's grace. God's grace is there, and what we do is just a response to the grace that's already there. And we're glad that people respond. Your choir, by the way, is very good. I sing in the choir when I'm in church. That's been twice this summer. But I love to sing in the choir. And we have an unusual circumstance. Maybe we could borrow some of you ladies. I notice your men are a little sparse. In our choir over there, we've got about 9 of us who are basses and about 6 who are tenors and about 6 who are altos, and we have a hard time scraping up 4 sopranos. Can you believe that? So maybe we could borrow some of you and take you back. But anyway, what we do in the church and what we do as a response to people in need is not earning us points with God. What it does is it's saying, I have come to understand that as Amazing Grace says, wretched soul that I am, God forgives me and welcomes me into his kingdom. And my response is to reach out to others and let them experience that good news. That's one kind of sermon. The other kind of sermon is like you're back in Sunday school class. And that's what I'm going to do with you this morning. Because the texts are such that you have to get that context in mind. And so we're going to spend a good bit of time talking about this guy by the name of Jacob that you know, going back to your Sunday school days. And then we'll talk about this woman who kept hammering away at the judge. And we'll come up finally saying, whatever your lot in life, don't back away. Stick with it and see it through, because both of these characters did that. That's the good news. So the background of this one is, here is Jacob. Jacob, one of the names that when he had his name changed to Israel, you remember when he wrestled in the text this morning. Jacob is quite a man. If you remember those Sunday school stories, Jacob went to work for his uncle Laban, who had 2 very pretty daughters. That's maybe why he decided to go and work for him. And in working for him, he worked because he fell in love with Rachel. Now, Rachel, he thought, was the one he was going to get in marriage after he had served a certain number of years for his uncle. And when it came time to get his bride, Laban pulled a fast one on him, and he snuck Leah in instead. And poor Jacob, who distrusted his uncle from there on, had to stay and work another 6 or 8 years in order to get the bride he wanted. But he ended up with the 2 wives and the 11 children. And as he worked with Laban kind of in partnership, he did end up to be a wealthy man. He had donkeys and cows and sheep and cattle. And he had all of those things that were associated with wealth back then. The problem was, if you remember Jacob's birth, let's go back. Here's Abraham. We all know about Abraham. And Abraham was the founder of do-it-yourself religion. Did you know that? That's common these days. Abraham didn't think God was going to get the job done because he had been promised a son. And you had to have a son. And the oldest son always inherited. And he didn't have a son. And so Abraham got the bright idea, if he took his wife's servant and had a child by her, that would become his heir. Do-it-yourself religion. God isn't getting it done, so I'll help him out. And so he had that son, and it's very pertinent for you to know that son, Ishmael, was pretty important until, if you've heard the story where Sarah stood around the corner and laughed when God said, I'm still going to give you a son. And the son that they were given was Isaac. So here's Ishmael, who got pushed into a secondary role, even though he was the first child born to Abraham through the maidservant. Here's Ishmael, who got to be a kind of a second-rate citizen because Isaac was born. And we trace our Christian and the Jewish faiths back out of Jacob, out of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, and on down. Okay, now here we, it's pertinent for today because you know what happened to Ishmael. If you study the faith of the folks from the Near East, who are part of the movement, the religious movement that's getting all the negative press, Ishmael was back standing alongside of Isaac. And there were two religious movements that came out. The Christian one here and the, what are we talking about? The Muslim faith, yeah. The Muslim faith came from the side of this slave son who got to be a second-rate citizen. Anyway, just to have that in perspective, and these faiths grew side by side, and I'm not saying that Christianity and the Muslim faith are equal, but when we get on our high horse, as some of our politicians want to, and start damning every Muslim because they're the ones that are the problem in our world, we have to remember, you know, there's something called the Crusades, folks. And we Christians didn't look very good in the Crusades. And there's also things like Jonestown, if you remember, in, it was probably 30 years ago, where Jim Jones killed off all of his followers with that laced Kool-Aid. Doesn't look very good for us as Christians when Christians do that. The point is, here was Abraham who ended up with Isaac, all right? Then Isaac had sons, and the sons were the important ones. The ladies, you're very fortunate today. You get to be equals to us men. Back then, the inheritance went to the oldest son. And when Rebekah, Isaac's wife, was going to have kids, it turned out to be twins. And the oldest one, you remember, was Esau, by about 30 seconds. And when Esau came out, the first one of these twins, he was holding on to the heel of his twin brother, who was Jacob. Now, Esau turned out to be a hunter. He loved to go out and hunt in the woods, and he'd bring game home, whatever he found. And his dad, you know, most of us dads kind of like having a son who's an outdoors type. And I guess that Isaac was no different. And so he took a shine because this Esau was the one who was going to inherit what was left of their estate. On the other hand, Rebekah kind of liked the second boy. She was his favorite. And so she and Jacob got together, and they planned a little scheme whereby, if you remember, Esau had been out hunting, and he came home hungry. Apparently, Jacob stayed home and helped his mother cook, because when Esau came home, he was hungry, he wanted to eat something, and Jacob said, well, if you let me go in to see our dad first about our inheritance, he said, then I'll give you a mess of porridge. And so Esau, being hungry enough, sold his birthright for a mess of pottage that he got. Anyway, so what did they do? They got an animal, you remember, with the fur of the animal on that Jacob could put on his arms, because Esau was a fuzzy guy. He had this hair all over his arms. By now, Isaac, gotta keep these guys straight, is on his deathbed. He's blind. And how am I going to know that I'm giving the birthright? If you wanted to give the birthright away. How do I know I'm giving it to the right one? Hold out your arm. And he felt the arm, and it was covered with this fur from an animal, and he figured out that must be Esau, so he gave him the birthright, which obviously didn't please Esau very much. And Esau became very angry about that scheme, and so poor Jacob, the cheat, had to run away from home, and he was gone from home for a long time and built up his own estate. And then he got thinking about it, and sooner or later he realized he needed to go home. He needed to get things cleared up with Esau. And so he took off back to meet Esau, and he wondered what's going to happen. Would Esau kill him? Esau had 400 soldiers with him waiting for his brother someday to come home. And so Jacob was not dumb. He sent all of these peace offerings, half of his flocks, whatever he had. And he sent his children and his wives that were cousins to Esau too, back. And then he alone laid down and was going to come the next morning along the river, the Jabbok. And that's what you heard read this morning. And while he lay there trying to sleep, he went into some kind of a dream, and he wrestled with an angel or with God or whomever. He wrestled and wrestled through the night. And finally, when he felt like he was winning that wrestling match, he asked for a blessing before he would let this person go. He thought it was just a man at first, and sure enough, it turned out for the story to be God that he was wrestling with. And so after he got the blessing, he then got bold enough to go back, having sent all of this alimony ahead of him to smooth the way. And when he got back, Esau welcomed him with open arms. Now, so you got this picture of Jacob out of the scriptures that you learned about, I'm sure, in Sunday school. Then you look at this widow in the gospel who was somebody who must have had a real just cause. And we've known situations like that, but the judge was kind of a worthless guy, it says. He didn't have any regard for justice. Probably those who had money or had prestige he would go along with, and the poor folk didn't get much count with him. And so here's this woman, instead of retreating and saying, well, I might as well give it up, I've been denied all these times, she kept coming at him until finally, to save his own mental health, I suppose, because he was getting irritated with her, he finally gave in and did what she asked. Now, the stories, both of them, have something to do with a little word called perseverance. Perseverance. And the text in the gospel says, you know, if an unjust judge will wear down if you keep coming to him, how much more and how much more quickly will God give in to us? And so that's the story. There's a beautiful line that I would share with you, and it says, failure is the line of least persistence. You've heard the line of least resistance. Failure is the line of least persistence. If there's something in your life and in your faith, excuse me, that you want to do, go for it. Go for it. Don't back away. And if something is right in your life and in your family and everybody else seems to think it's of no count, the texts are kind of saying, stay with it. Stay with it. Persevere. Because what's right should finally end up out there as the decision. One of my favorite politicians is Winston Churchill, years and years ago. And Winston Churchill, just before he gave up his job, went to a college to give a commencement address. And he got up there as things settled down after he'd been introduced. And Churchill said, never give up. Stopped and paused a little bit. Then he said, never give up. And he paused again a little bit. And the third time he said, never give up. And he left the podium and walked off. Now, that's a pretty short sermon, pretty direct. You couldn't miss his point. But that's kind of what the Gospels are saying too, and what the Old Testament story is about. Never give up. You know, Jacob could have stayed away longer, but he just knew that he needed to get back with his family. And so he went for it. He saw it through, and it paid off. And so it is with us. God is encouraging each one of us to go after what we know is important in life and to stick with it and to go for it with all that we have. May God give us the good sense to know what is right and then the willingness to take a stand for it and to go for it. The peace of God which passes all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. And I think I heard that you take offering during the hymn that's coming up. Somebody said I should hand the plates out at this point, so. Join with me as we pray together the offertory prayer. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth to your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Set free by the truth of God's gracious love, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. Protector of all, you guard your people from evil Help your church to provide sanctuary for all who are in need. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Creator of all, you made the sun, the moon, the stars. Bless efforts to restore clean air, that your pure light may shine in the world. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Keeper of all life, you provide justice for the nations. Call upon leaders and judges, lawyers and advocates, to proclaim your justice where injustice rules. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great.
Nurturing healer, you reach out to those who have lost heart. Ease their suffering, relieve their pain, comfort the dying, and calm the troubled, especially those whom we are aware of in our own sphere of life, who suffer these days with the loss of a loved one or the ill health that might remove them from their presence. Be with them and touch them with your hope. Hear us, O God. God of unfailing love, you are our first and best teacher. Guide all who teach in schools, homes, churches, seminaries, and in public life. Let your love shine forth in their teaching. Hear us, O God. Holy One, you bless all those who cry out to you. We give thanks for the persistent witness of your blessed saints who now rest in your just and righteous presence. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, faithful God, we place ourselves and our prayers, spoken and unspoken, trusting in your mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
In response to the good news, let us use the common outline of the Apostles' Creed to state our faith today. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. On the night when he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus, after they had eaten supper together, took hold of a loaf of bread, broke from the loaf, and gave each one a piece, and said, "Take and eat. This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had supped and given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Let us join in praying our Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the table of our Lord is prepared for the Lord, our Lord's people. Come and share as you're directed.
Christ broken for you. I'm going to invite you to stand. Our Lord Jesus Christ, whose true body and blood you've now received, strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. His peace be with you. Let us pray together the prayer after communion. We come again to you, O God, giving you thanks that in this feast of victory you have embraced us and healed us, making us one in the body of Christ. Go with us on your way. Equip us for every good work, that we may continue to give you thanks by embracing others with mercy and healing. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. God Almighty, send you light and truth to keep you all the days of your life. The hand of God protect you, his holy angels accompany you, and the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
Dear friends, go in peace. Remember the poor.
Thanks be to God.
And then our hymn of thanksgiving, number 840.
Thank you.
worship is ended, our service begins.